this world continues to slide down in the abyss that it is, and it is going down at a tremendous rate. It just seems the more people want to be perverted, they're allowed to be perverted. And the perversion is, in many ways, is protected by government officials, and it just continues on. And if you want to be something and somebody speaks against you, you go complain, or you get on Facebook and get some signatures and go back and say, look, 2,000 people say I can be this way or do this or whatever it is. And you get the interviews, and people come and want to sit down with you and talk about why you want to be what you are or what you profess to be or what you hope to do or become. And we see this slide into sin and corruption. That should intensify every Feast of Tabernacles that we are allowed to keep, brethren, because this is that time that the truth of God, the God's plan, is held in high esteem as we're going to come before God in His marvelous, marvelous holy days. You know, in a world that increasingly has to invent things to entertain themselves, you know, all these so-called reality TV shows to try to entertain, and those two seem like they go further and further out, become more and more, you know, wacky and weird in order to draw audiences after themselves. Because it doesn't want to remember the pain and the suffering that is in this world. So escapism, for many, is the rule of the day. We have, as the old Coca-Cola commercial described years ago, the real thing. You know, the real thing. And that's what happens every Sabbath, brethren, where God's people are gathered together. It is the real. What is real? Today I want to cover a subject that is dear to all of us. And as our feast planning moves to an exciting fever pitch, we must never forget one of the most important admonishments, brethren, that each of us has to call to remembrance. And that is, what will I learn this Feast of Tabernacles? What will I learn? Not so much what am I going to do this feast? What will I learn? Because we have the blessing and the privilege to go to the place where God has placed His name. That has meaning to us in itself. We're going to a place where God's placed His name. The fact that we've kept His tithe to go to the place that has His name and to hear His words spoken to His people. Talk about a relationship between God and man. I mean, from the beginning of Israel's first steps, it was so. Let's begin by going to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Is this not the way it should always be when it comes to the feast, brethren? Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. Because, brethren, you are God's people. You are a nation. Like Jesus Christ, brethren, His people have many names too, don't we? You know, we're a church. We're soldiers. We're ambassadors. You're the coming kings and priests. You're His own special people. You're His jewels. You're the apple of His eye. You have a lot of names, too, ascribed to you. And so, as we see here, what great nation is there that has God so near to it? As the eternal our God is to us, brethren, where else are you going to go to have the type of relationship that we have when we come together to worship God during the feast? God's people gather together before their God in unity and joyfully proclaiming His greatness and His blessings. Verse 8. And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law, which I set before you this day. In every message, sermonette, split sermon that comes out, brethren, is going to be chock full with the word of God, speaking of his marvelous works, his wondrous plan, prophetic events, and we're going to be the hearers that day, desiring to learn. What am I going to learn this year at the Feast of Tabernacles? Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. I was talking to a gentleman whose mother, like my mom, was very instrumental in him coming into the church. You know, I've given you my story about, you know, hitting the box of literature in my mom's closet. And mom was listening to Mr. Armstrong for years and years and years. And when I found that booklet and started reading it and then seeing the example of my mother, well, this gentleman was telling me about his mom. And when the split occurred back there in the 90s, he left, his mother stayed back in what was the Worldwide Church of God. And he was speaking to her recently. And this is what God is talking about here, to diligently keep yourself. He was speaking with his mother, who still attends whatever their name is now, Grace Communion, whatever. And the feast came up. And his mother asked, "Son, could you explain to me what the Day of Atonement means?" She had forgotten what the Day of Atonement. This woman was called into the church, instrumental in rearing her son in God's word, and she had forgotten. And of course, this saddened him greatly. I have to explain to my mother what the Day of Atonement means. God means what he says, brother. Diligently keep yourself, because if you don't, you will forget. Just as Israel forgot. They forgot God. Went after other gods. How bad did it get? Offering your own children as human sacrifices. They forgot. That's why the feast is not a small thing to us, brethren. We understand the magnitude of that time. And the importance of passing it down as the scripture continues. And teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Eternal said to me, "Gather the people to me." You see, brother, we gather together at that appointed time to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. We gather before God. And I will let them hear my words, that they may learn, what, brethren? To fear me all the days they live on the earth. When you forget God's word, brethren, you don't fear him like you're supposed to. You don't have that fear. You don't have that. I mean, you're telling me you don't know the story of Satan anymore? What's going to happen to him? How do you lose that? That he's going to be bound. That we may learn to have the reverence for our God, brethren, through his Spirit that keeps within us the knowledge and understanding that you and I have. And that we may teach our children also to fear the Lord their God. This is why the feast is more than activities. Now, the activities are enjoyable, to be sure. Yes, we like going and doing nice things. We like going to do things together as a group. Okay, we're going to go up this year. We're going to Poconos. We're going to go to see the show, Joseph. I'm sure it's going to be wonderful. What makes it really wonderful? I'm with God's people. I'm with God's people. You know, so when there's an intermission, we stand up as a group. We're talking. We go out in the hall. We're talking out in the hall. We're talking when we come back inside. And then we go, shh, not sit down with you. Show's over. We stand up. We start talking to each other again. Then we walk out together. Get back on the bus, drive back, and we talk all the way home until someone starts falling asleep. Because we're together. Now, the show, it was a good activity. But I was with people of like mind doing something together. And we take those photographs to capture the memories of those activities. Now, when the minister is giving the sermon the next day, we're not up there taking pictures of him. No, we're taking notes. We don't say, oh, here's Mr. Epp speaking about this picture. What was he speaking about that day? I don't know. What was his sermon? No, we go to our notes. So here's what we learned. Here's what we learned today. We have paper, pen, laptop, whatever means we use by which to record the words that God asked us to never forget. He said, gather the people to me that they might learn and pass it on to their children. You know, the feast reminds us of the law that God gave to his people, a law that so many in the world have tossed away. They've added to it. They've taken away from it. All the things God said don't do, the world has done. They've tossed it out. They've added to it. They've misinterpreted it. They say it's too old, so we're going to progress it and show it differently. Let's go one chapter over into Deuteronomy 5. We see Moses reviewing the law of God, which the people, as they once again are gathered together, verse 1, Deuteronomy 5, Moses once again calls the people together, Israel, and said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn. That you may learn. What's one of the best ways, brethren, to show our accomplishment that we understand? It's by doing the things that we learned. Okay? If you learn how to be an auto mechanic, then you get a job, you know, turning burgers over at Hardee's, and you never use those skills, what's going to happen after a while? You're not going to know how to be an auto mechanic anymore, but you can flip burgers pretty good. We learned the Word of God. God says, you've learned it, now I want you to use it. How often? Every day of your life. Every day of your life. There isn't a day when we should not be thinking about God's Word and how it applies to me in this particular situation or issue. It's like, now what does God say? How should I do this? What should I do? And draw from what we've learned, brethren. And not just learn them, as the Scripture continues, and be careful to observe them. Mr. Frank's article in the feast brochure speaks about and makes the comparison. I've made the comparison also in the past. There's going to the feast, there's keeping the feast. See, you can go or you can keep it. Okay? You can know about it or observe it, which is the same thing as keeping it. He says, be careful to observe them. Because the Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us. See, this understanding, brother, that we have that some of God's servants did not have. There were certain things Daniel wanted to understand, but God said, close the book, Daniel. That's for another time. But God has shared other things with us. Those who are here today, all of us who are alive. Then Moses reviews the Ten Commandments from verses 6 to 21, reminding the people to be careful to observe them, just as we are to be careful when it comes to observing the Feast of Tabernacles. You know what the feast is also great for, brethren? The feast is great for catching up. Now, what do I mean by catching up? Well, if you're like me, you can get a little behind in your reading. You know, I got my discern, I got my one accord, you know, I've got my other information I get for the ministry, I've got my Bibles in, and you can get a little behind in your reading. The feast is a great time to catch up. You know, I know, again, speaking for the Poconos, we have, I know, at least two services that are afternoon services. One, you know, one's a high day, one's a weekly Sabbath. You know, that gives opportunity in the morning to do what? You can take your Discern magazine out and sit down, find a quiet place with your Bible, and read and catch up. You know, if you're a little behind your Bible study, it's a great time to catch up. You see? You know, we don't watch a whole lot of TV anyway, so it's like, I'm going to go try to catch up today. Try to catch up. So it's a great opportunity to get caught up. So consider, as you pack, to pack those resources with you. What am I a little bit behind in? Maybe I'm two Discern magazines behind. You do what you have to do. Pack those up and take those with you and find those moments where you can catch up. What better time to catch up on reading articles filled with the Word of God than it's a great opportunity to also increase your learning. Of course, when it comes to keeping the feasts, our two largest expenditures normally are our lodging and our food at the Feast of Tabernacles. So whether you have a nice little kitchenette or a full kitchen or a baby refrigerator or a full-size refrigerator, you know, some of us eat out a majority of the time, some of us eat in a majority of the time. But whatever, or wherever you reside, brethren, or wherever you take a meal, it's important to remember what we have learned. You know, showing honor and obedience to God who faithfully tithing should not be taken lightly. We remember, brethren, who provided us what we have. Who owns everything? God does. He owns everything. Beginning with our life. He gave you life. The blessing of occasionally going to a specialty site to keep the feast, to have food or drink that we don't often consume, but at the feast. You ever think about the wine you're going to drink with Jesus Christ in the kingdom? What is that going to be like? Because I'm not going to drink it until I come again. What do you think? Now, we're not told, will he use a vineyard? Or is he just going to say, there it is? We don't know. You might just say, there's a vineyard. From that vineyard, you're going to have the best wine ever. No pesticides, no anything. It's going to be pure. When Jesus comes to your city in the kingdom, brethren, you going to dine with him? You going to tell your city, brethren, the king is coming to our city. How would you have your city prepare for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? What would the setting be will certainly be the best that we could possibly do and be. Even though guys will still be spirit beings, we'll probably still ask our sisters. You know, I'll be, honey, is this okay? I need your opinion. She goes, hey, look, I'm a spirit being. I'm not a woman anymore. But what will it be like, those special moments? Deuteronomy 14. I think it's something my dad never understood. Of course, he wasn't in the church. He always said, Irma, where you got all that money from? Maybe she's going to the feast. What are you doing going to Pensacola? You ain't got no money to go to Pensacola. Oh, where'd you get all that money? Because, honey, I tithe. Deuteronomy 14, verse 22. You shall surely, truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. You shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. The tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil, of the firstborn of your herds and of your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. Sure, brethren, chances are you're going to hit that restaurant where the service is lousy. Okay? The waitress or the waiter's going to be off at Never Never Land somewhere. They're going to get your order incorrect. They're going to come back. And you're going to say, excuse me, I did not ask for bacon bits on my macaroni. How do we respond? Because, again, that we may learn to fear the Lord our God always. Perhaps we can bring to mind the times we have fallen short before God, and did he blow us away? Did he say, I'm not going to listen to you anymore? Or will we remember a soft answer? It's not time to play the do you know who I am card. Do you know who I am? I'm going to be a king one day, and people like you, low-life people, I'm going to rule over you. That's not the time to do that. We're not going to do that anyway. A soft answer. An extra measure of patience. After all, you are a king and priest in waiting. So what does that say about our behavior, our demeanor, when someone does not serve you in the way that you feel should be most fitting? And when the food does arrive 15 minutes later, how do we respond? About time. Wait a minute. What have you learned? What have we learned? How is our God? How is Jesus Christ? What are we to learn and what are we to convey through our example? Verse 26, you shall spend that money, God's money. He's letting us borrow it. It's his money. It's his tithe. Even the second one, he's letting it. He owns everything. You spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen, sheep, wine, or similar drink. For whatever your heart desires, you shall eat there in whose presence? You see, in whose presence, when that service is lousy, whose presence are you in? Did God say, oh, bad service, I'm out of here. No, you have his spirit. He's there. you shall rejoice. You shall rejoice. Remember last year at Split Rock, Family Day? You know, we were just trying to decide, should we go back to the house and get something to eat for lunch and come running back, or should we get a pizza right there? We thought, okay, let's just get a pizza right here. I think they sent out for pizza. When I say sent out for pizza, they sent out for the dough, they sent out for the ingredients, everything, because we waited and waited and waited and waited. I'm thinking, we may not have time. We're still in our church clothes. It's time for Family Day almost. Like, we may not get a chance to have Family Day because we haven't had pizza yet. And then finally, it arrived. And we jumped in the van and changed our clothes real quick and scurried on over. And that pizza was good. That pizza was good. It was like, we should have got two. Probably been 10 hours later, but it was still good pizza. And we rejoiced. We rejoiced because God says, you shall rejoice before me. You and your household. Even in a restaurant, God expects us to do what, family? Keep the feast. Continue to show reverence to Him in all things. Because God showers us, brethren, with blessings, ever flowing. And even when adversity hits, God makes a way for His people and continues to bless us. You know, Mr. Franks made mention of, you know, some of our family members in parts of Minnesota and Wisconsin. You know, Sheboygan was a big hit last year as a feast site. And we thought we were going back. But they didn't want us. So right in the middle of the negotiation, they said, so, your family in Minnesota and Wisconsin are going to have to travel a little bit further this year to get to their site. Mr. Frank says, this year, in the middle of the negotiations for our site in Sheboygan, new management. So we talked about the poor church, didn't we? New Pharaoh shows up, takes a look. Their church. The new management informed us they were not interested in signing another contract. At that late date, we were unable to locate another site in the Wisconsin area. Because of the distance, this will make it more difficult for some, but we hope that the number of new festival sites will lessen the difficulty of not having one in Wisconsin this year. Again, we sometimes run into this. There's not a guarantee that every property we like and negotiate with will be the place we keep the feast. And yet, we see the blessings still come through. One of them, which really a lot of people are enjoying right now, are gas prices. Going down. So, we may have lost the feast site, but some of the brethren who have to fill their cars up to drive a little bit further, they'll be paying less. This time last year, the average price for gas was $3.43. This year, it's $2.47 and dropping. So the opportunity to travel to a new site, you know, of course, is always exciting. But blessings can be found even under adverse conditions. Because you know what? Satan wants to rob our joy. He wants to rob our joy, put us in a cantankerous attitude, have us look at the negative side of everything, and steal your joy. And yet the blessings still come. We arrived in Pigeon Forge a couple years ago. My mother and sister followed us down in their car. We pulled up into the property. It is a feast like this year. We started opening like with Sunday night a couple years ago. You know, follows all the way down, pulled in the driveway, got it to the lodging, parked the car. My sister came up behind me. She drove by. I looked, and there was fluid coming out of the bottom of the car. And I thought, that's not air conditioning fluid. That's not water. So I bent down, transmission fluid. It's Sunday, late afternoon. Who's open? How about nobody? And you sit and you go, this is a difficult way to start the feast of tabernacles. So I told my sister, sis, you got transmission problems. I don't know how bad it is, but you are leaking transmission fluid. And she was crestfallen, but you know what? It was time to get ready for opening night. It was time to get ready for the feast. And I said, hey, the next day's a high day. We ain't going out the next day either. It's a high day. That car's going to stay parked. I don't know what the puzzle's going to look like, but tomorrow is the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. So the earliest we were going to be able to go anywhere would be Tuesday morning. So Tuesday morning, walked out in the morning with my flashlight, peeked down underneath, and I'm thinking, will it drive or do we have to tow this puppy? So I said, we're going to try to drive. Jumped in the car, drove like 25 miles per hour at 6:30 in the morning. Happily, there weren't a lot of people out, and we made it to the garage. Drove it in, dropped it off, and I was happy, Bradford. And then I said, you know, God got us here. What if we're out there on Interstate 85 and it was like, plonk, and just died right there? Sunday afternoon. But not only did she get to the feast, we got it to the garage. And the guy called up and said, we're not going to have to give it a complete overhaul. There's some things we could do. Yeah, it was still a little pricey. But you know what? When we left the feast, it was fixed. But more than that, brethren, once we got it there, I said, I'm not thinking about this anymore. It's time to keep the feast. It is time to give your full devotion to the Feast of Tabernacles. The cost and all that stuff, that's coming later. What do we learn? Our God loves us. We pray for His protection, don't we? He knew the leak was there and was going down the interstate. He got that car there. And then it was up for us to get that car serviced, and we did, and we thank God the whole time. So even in adversity, brethren, we were learning and still giving thanks because of the blessings that we received. So as Mr. Frank says, every feast, the next feast is the best. It's the best. And you thank God that, again, the blessing of His tithe to help offset the cost. It's right there. What was 2 weeks earlier or 2 weeks after? You ain't going to your tithe money then. God commands that we celebrate, brethren, that we joyfully celebrate in the seventh month. Let's go to Leviticus 23. The scripture that Mr. Franks just quoted. You're going to hear this verse quoted multiple times during this season. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the eternal, which you shall proclaim, do be holy convocations. They're mine. And then he begins to tell the people how they are to celebrate and how they are to rejoice. Please drop down to verse 39. The seventh month is chock full of celebration, brethren, of rejoicing. Also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the eighth day a Sabbath rest. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day of the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. I'm looking forward to that, Brent, building my tabernacle. I've never built one before. So you got a feel in the kingdom, we're going to get to build ourselves a tabernacle. A booth. You know, this is what, and just think of the trees you can use and the fragrant things you can put together. And to go in there and say, this is a booth. This is what our ancestors did when they built those booths. And since everybody running a hotel, if there is such a thing called hotels in the kingdom, I'm not sure if there's going to be hotels in the kingdom. You know, those people will all be at the feast anyway. So they're going to be closed. So where are we going to be to keep the feast? What are we going to do? Well, we're going to rejoice. We're going to rejoice for 7 days. And then on the eighth day, which is a separate feast, verse 41, you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. As we draw near to this time, brethren, there is so much more to learn, which is why we pray for God's kingdom. There is so much more to learn. We're going to learn in the kingdom. See, it works both ways. When Jesus became a human being, what are we told? He learned through the things he suffered. Okay? Because he had never suffered before. No one had ever slapped him, punched him. He learned. So he understands, sitting by the Father now, when you're mocked, when people call you ugly names, and maybe one day, who knows, if the persecution will come to people punching us in the face. I don't know. But we have the example of what our older brother did. We pray for his kingdom because if there are things we didn't do, or we didn't have, he's going to show us, isn't he? He's going to show us how to better worship, how to better teach. He's going to give us, because we'll be full of his Holy Spirit. This gospel of the kingdom is being preached as a witness to this world, brethren. We understand the world wants anything but the kingdom of God to be preached. It really wants in so many ways to be left alone. But we preach the gospel nevertheless, just like Jeremiah preached to Judah nevertheless. God said, you go out there and tell them. And brethren, we are telling them. And we're telling them through our example of going up and keeping the feast that this has significance. This has meaning. We are God's people. He owns us. We are his sons and daughters. We are to be like our dad. Whether the world likes it or not, whether it respects it or not, we are to be his people and reflect his ways and his thoughts. And part of the preaching of that gospel, brethren, includes the introduction of those who at one time required oxygen to live. Because when Jesus Christ returns and your composition is changed, you won't be going anymore. You won't require that anymore. You won't have to inhale anymore unless you want to. You won't need, even though you'll be able to have it, that fine porterhouse steak. You can taste it if you want to. You can eat it. You won't need it to live anymore. And good old sleep, after a long, long day, you won't need it anymore. You can sit down if you want to. Close your eyes. But you know what? You won't sleep because you're tired. But you will be with those who require all those things. As a king and a priest, you will be in the midst of those who still require sleep and food and breath of life and water to sustain them. Having learned to fear the Lord your God, and having kept the word of God in a world, quite frankly, brethren, that's going to be decimated. It's going to be decimated. You look at that sixth trumpet that's going to be sounded, and that 200 million man army, it's going to go out and just destroy people. And some are going to live through that. And they're going to want to know if you're going to kill them. And you're going to say no. Quite the opposite. Quite the opposite. What about the man on the horse? He isn't going to kill you either. He's your Savior. And he's here to save you. So don't despair. And we will teach them, brethren, what we have learned. We shall teach them how to fear the Lord their God. Always. We, having received the gift of eternal life, will look through new lenses, brethren, and see hope and regeneration in a world that would have been decimated. We're going to look out and see it, and we're going to say, you know, life is going to spring forth from this. Life, everlasting, will one day be right on this planet, brethren. Our Father's coming here on this planet. Life eternal is going to be here one day. We will see the beginnings of that, the genesis of that, at the return of Jesus Christ. We will see as our Father sees and as our elder brother sees. We will see hope. Revelation chapter 1. Some will be afraid because they fought against the king when he came back. He says, no, he's not going to kill you. You didn't know. You were deceived. Revelation 1, verse 4. Grace to you and peace from him. Who's the him? That's the Father. That's the Father. Peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us, Jesus Christ, washed us from our sins in his own blood, and he has made us kings and priests, brethren, to his God and Father. See, we don't do it. We don't do it. Jesus Christ will make us kings and priests to our Father, who we came to know and learn to fear him always. That will never end, brethren. Even after we're spirit beings, we will always reverence our Father. We will love him in a greater capacity than we ever could as human beings. And it will never end. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. His enemies and his brethren are going to see him. Those who died in the faith are going to wake up and they're going to see him. Those who hated him, scoffed at him, despised him, they're going to see him. Those who don't even have a clue as to who he is going to see him. We all killed him. But the blessing is we've been washed and are now ready to rule and preach in the kingdom of our Father with our elder brother and King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When this occurs, when we see him, we will be changed. We will be changed. All the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, in other words, that's okay, they can mourn. Even so, amen. Let it be so. Let it be so. He describes himself as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty, brethren. The Feast of Tabernacles is to the Almighty and his coming eternal kingdom. To those who have learned to fear the Lord their God always, brethren, may we embrace these coming days, these coming festival days. May we give thanks and glorify God in our doings, in our sayings, in our minds. And celebrate with great joy and anticipation, looking forward to the fulfillment of this portion of prophecy. See, it's a portion. There's more to come. We're certainly looking forward to this portion, brethren, and the fulfillment of it. When our high priest sits on the throne of his servant David and rules this planet with justice, mercy, and faith. As our hymn proudly proclaims, rejoice, the Lord is King. Let the earth